Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tabletop Tales as part of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for Friday, April 4th, 2014. I am your host, Mark Kuznez, and y'all may be wondering, what the hell was with that introduction? What's this tale? I decided that I'm going to call the whole board game, card game, whatever, etc., parts of this podcast Tabletop Tales. And I don't want to go as far as to create another feed because I don't want to have a whole bunch of podcasts. I don't want to have a whole bunch of different podcast feeds and all that because that just gets, that becomes a jumbled mess. I would borderline even just want to put it all on the Pixelated Radio feed just because Pixelated Radio makes it sound like, oh, it's a radio station, so it's going to have different shows. But, yeah, that's not going to happen. But yeah, this is still the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. It counts as an episode, so it's still episode 165 now. But I just call it Tabletop Tales. I'm not going to number that either. I'm just going to, mention the date because I wanted something that is about it. And as much as I think more people just call tabletop games in general board games, tabletop is more accurate. And I was fighting between which one to go with, which term to go with for a while. And I just decided I'd rather be accurate than potentially reaching a larger audience. But yeah, so game now is case. And also, if you're wondering why there wasn't an episode Wednesday, I had the whole wake and funeral and all that stuff going on. And I just decided that I'm going to skip that middle episode because I didn't really have much to talk about anyway. I had my game, the Game Club game, which I did that episode, but then other than that, I really didn't play much. I dabbled in World of Tanks finally, and I only played one match, and it was just a bit confusing, just in terms of, like, how do I start a match? And then I just picked a tank, and it randomly threw me into a match. I'm like, oh, I guess that's what I do. And then the number of tanks, and or the way the upgrade system and the way it worked, or I don't know, it just seemed very, very complicated and just did not tell me anything about it. Like, the tutorial showed me how to control and do all that and whatnot, but it didn't give me any information about the menu system or navigating that or what I should do in those situations, in that situation. So, and then I also played that other free-to-play shooter, which I think just recently went into open beta. And it's basically, it's seemingly a Gmail beta, meaning that it is basically out and released. It's just not technically finished, I guess. So they're still calling it a beta, but you can get achievements for it. And that's Warframe colon something something or whatever. That's from Crytek, I believe. And it's a decent shooter. It does feel a bit just lacking of, I don't want to say originality, but just any kind of distinct flavor. It doesn't have anything about it that says, oh yeah, this is really interesting about the game or anything like that. But it's a very solid shooter. It doesn't look too bad. This is exactly why I think Recoil is such a piece of shit game and such a stupid idea. I mean, I don't understand why Recoil costs $15, is an online only game without even a tutorial that you can play by yourself, which Warframe has, so you can do that over and over again, maybe if you want, but I don't know why you would do that. But it's also, I'm in a way better game. It actually feels comfortable to shoot. But yeah, I mean, Recoil Liberation, or whatever the subtitle was, is, I feel like this is being too mean, but I honestly think Recoil Liberation is embarrassing. And I've been writing a piece that I pretty much finished it, but I haven't published it or anything just because I feel like it is a bit too mean. I don't know. I don't know what I want to do with that piece because honestly, Recoil Liberation is just an absolute joke and an embarrassment as a product. It is absolute garbage. I feel sorry for anyone who actually paid money for that, especially when you can get something like Warframe for free. It's just so bad. And it's embarrassing because I've tried. This is part of why I probably will end up posting that at some point. And I mean, I've gone back at various days, various times of the day, pretty much every day of the week at every, not every hour, but you know, the good times, you know, morning, afternoon, evening, middle of the night, to see if there are people online playing, if I can find a match, if I can just jump into one. And every single time I try to find a match, nobody's playing. Or what, I don't know what's going on, but I'm always thrown into a lobby by myself. And I wait a few minutes and nobody joins, and then I just leave. I just quit because I'm not going to sit there for 20 minutes. I shouldn't have to wait, you know, 3 to 5 minutes anyway. I mean, that's just ridiculous. But I thought I was talking about tabletop games, right? I've already spent like 5 minutes not talking about tabletop games. So this is a great first episode edition of Tabletop Tales. But now on to Tabletop Tales, Board Game Friday, and also to anyone who doesn't know, but if you're into board games and tabletop games and whatnot, this Saturday, I don't know why I kind of slurred that S or so, is, I think it's International Tabletop Day or whatever. I think it's international, I'm not sure, but it's like Tabletop Day, so get in on that. Yeah, International Tabletop Day. So go find a local place. There are, I'm sure, plenty of places near you that are doing it. G-Mart is doing it. So if you've never been there and you'd like to check it out on Saturday, and they're doing it all day long, but I think they're going to have like the traditional game night system that we have every Thursday nights, every Thursday night, starting at 8 p.m. But starting at 12 p.m., they'll be demoing different board games throughout the day. They'll have them for sale too. So if you play something and then like, oh, I like this, then you'll be able to pick up a copy. So yeah, check them out. And of course, if you don't remember, G-Mart is on Kedzie Avenue, right across the street from the Logan Square Blue Line stop. So just check it out. I mean, it's really easy to get to. If you don't take public transportation, then just Google it, and you'll find all the information you need. But now on to the actual game. So the first game, well, I actually played some more Coup for the first time in about a month or so, and that was fun. Good people. So I was playing with good people, and that's why it was fun. And yeah, also, if you don't know, there is a expansion pack, Reformation, I believe it's called. It's on Kickstarter right now. It's already well funded. With the, there was never any doubt that it was going to get funded. But the really awesome thing about the Kickstarter is that for, you get the expansion pack for $15, but if you pay $30, you can get the expansion back, the expansion pack and the base game of Coup, but not just the regular retail version that went out to stores, the Kickstarter version, the one that goes for like $50 on eBay. So I'm sure all those resellers, all those people who were like, oh, I'm going to sell this Kickstarter version because you can't, people can't get it anywhere else, they're probably all pissed. But that's a good thing for you and me. I back that. I will probably never open that version, not because I plan on reselling it, but because I just think it would be nice to have that, and maybe I would be into playing that someday. But I really don't like the bonus character, the Inquisitor, that comes with the Kickstarter version, so I'm just not gonna mess around with that. And then another nice thing about the expansion pack is that the box will be big enough to hold both the expansion pack and the base game, including if you do sleeve them. I sleeve my cards, so for me and I know Jerry, who is the person from Game Night who I first played Coup with, who basically got me into Coup. He sleeves his cards as well. So, yeah. And it was fun. It was good. Good times. I got to kill Jerry. And it was the craziest thing about the two games you played last night is that the most powerful character ended up being the ambassador, because I just kept the first round, I kept ambassadoring because I get cards and then I wouldn't like what I got, so I'd just take my ambassador back. And I got one guy out because he didn't think I still had an ambassador or that I ever had one, so he got out. And then the last guy finally lost by challenging me again, because I pretty much ambassadored almost every single turn, because one, I figured At some point, people are going to keep calling me out on this because why would I still have an ambassador so many times? Two, no, that's it. I mean, I have the ambassador so I can actually do it. So I don't really have anything to worry about if somebody does mess with me. And if I find a card that I actually like, I can get rid of the ambassador, but I never did. And then the other guy had that, he was the only person ambassadoring, so he was able to not only keep doing that, but he was also able to see and know all the cards that were not in play that weren't in people's hands. And that kind of really helped him, especially at the end when it was just down to him and one other guy. But the interesting thing about last night is that I actually played four brand new games. I didn't play anything I knew other than Coup. The first one I played was Red Dragon Inn. I believe it was two, the second edition. I think the fourth edition or the fourth version is coming out really soon, or the most recent version that recently came out. And it's not like fourth. I don't believe it's like fourth edition, or it could be, but it's. I think there's more substantial differences than just, a reprinting or something along those lines. I'm not completely aware, but it's basically a game where you play against up to five other players, I believe. We had a full group of five, and your adventurers who are at a bar. I mean, it's olden times, so whatever they call them, it's not a pub. I'm trying to think what the hell they call those things. Whatever, who cares? It's a bar, and your adventurers are there, and you're basically just trying to like outwit everyone out of their gold or to like get them piss poor drunk or get rid of their like, and it's not life points, but it's something along those lines. You're basically just trying to destroy the other people for whatever reason. And there's a drinking aspect to the game. You have your character, and they don't have a special ability, but their deck of cards, their hands, their playing cards will have certain advantages, like the thief is able to steal, has more stealing cards. The mage is more of a rounded character. The bard is just an obnoxious asshole. Then I mean, you have a, I think a paladin, and I don't think it was a priestess. But you have these different characters, and they all have their like some one character. Their hand, their cards may be more on the defensive side, some are more on the offensive side, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you have that hand. Then you have your pile where you have your drink cards played, and your drinks basically, after each round, you flip over your drink card if you have one. And well, you do that at the end of your turn. And then you'll lose a little bit of, because you have these two numbers. 20 and, well, 20 and 0, they lead up to each other. One, you have a, I can't remember if it's a red or clear one, but you have one, they're not called gems. What are those things? All these components. I still need to get these terms really, really just ingrained in my head, because gem's not the right word for these things. They're like those little pieces that are in Mancala, but I don't know what the hell they're called now. It's driving me crazy. These little, but you have these little whatever stones. One's red, one's white. Red one goes by your health part, which is not called health; it's called something else. And then the other one is by your just alcohol level. And while you're drinking, you'll gain like 4 alcohol points or whatever number. So you move that number, and then if you lose life, you move that other one down. And you never want those stones to cross. If they cross, you die. Everyone starts with 10 gold. We started with 12 because that's just the way the guy running the game wanted us to do it. I think he said it was better because you lose money fast, and that definitely happened in this game. You don't want those stones to cross because you'll die that way. If you lose all your money, you're gone. And I think those are the only two ways that you can actually be eliminated. So while you're playing the game, you're just basically, I mean, you have an action card. You can first discard, you have to discard one card, but you can discard your whole hand if you want and just get a whole new hand, whatever, and your hand is 7 cards. And then you have an action card where you play that, and it could be something where you take away like 2 vitality points from someone else, which I think that's what they call the health points. Or you can make other people do things. There are like sometimes cards which you can use. I think when someone just like plays an action against you, or I don't know. I think those are always defensive. I'm not sure. There are anytime cards that you can play at any time, like any time in the middle of someone's hand at any point that are just like, oh, I'm doing something, whatever. You know, it's like, oh, I just farted. Everyone lose a point. There's no card like that, but that's basically the idea. And there's also gambling, which is sort of like a mini game within this game. And that's where I fucking hate this game for that. But you start a round of gambling. Somebody says, like, the card's like, gambling, I'm in, or whatever. Then everyone has to ante in one of their gold. Then there are different cards in there. There's, like, winning hand, which is basically means you're the front runner. You have the winning hand. Nobody can play another winning hand after a winning hand's been played. So somebody else has to cheat, have a cheating card, and play that. And then a winning hand can go on again. You can also play the gambling, I'm in card that also gives you control of the hand. And basically, you win at gambling if you play a card that puts the hand in your control, and then everyone does their turn, and nobody takes control of the hand. And also, there's a raise card, which just means everyone has to put in another gold piece. But then there's this card, which I can't remember what it's called, but it's just basically the asshole card, where somebody plays that, all that money, gone. Nobody gets it. Just that's out of the game. And that happened so many times. That happened 4 times. I did it the last time because somebody said gambling and I only had 2 pieces left, so I lost 1 piece. I only had 1 left. So I was like, fuck this shit, and I ended it. And somebody gambled again, and that's how I ended up dying. But it's a fun game. It's a game that encourages, but you don't have to, not so much role-playing, but just getting a little bit into the character and be like, ooh, how many times have I told you, stop touching my wand? Which was like one of my cards that had something along those lines, which basically, doing that, I was able to get rid of 2 vitality points for a character. So, and you say it in a cheeky way. The guy playing the bard, he was a real obnoxious son of a bitch. So he was a perfect bard, but he was driving me nuts. And everyone was just giving him drinks all the time. He had so many drinks. And I don't know. It was fun, though. It's a fun game. I think it's a game you definitely need the right people for that. Well, at least if you want to have more of a, not role-playing, but just a bit of a more, I don't know, fun experience. But like with any game, in most cases, my ability to enjoy them, it will always be limited, just because I've spent a lot of time. I'm not going to get too into character doing any of that kind of crap, because I'm still just basically focusing on the game and just trying to make sure I put it into my memory how everything works, so that if I play it again, I will be more able to just go through without having to ask questions or really think as much. Like with the case with Bang, which now I can go through Bang pretty much without thinking. I'm super fast at Bang. I'm super fast at banging. But yeah, that was Red Dragon Inn 2, I believe, was the second one we were playing. And I really enjoy that. Next game we played was a game I loved more than any of the other games. I really, really, really liked the game. And it's a game I've heard a lot about, and I'm pretty sure if you, pay attention to board gaming or whatever at all, you've heard of it. It's Sentinels of the Multiverse, which is a co-op game, a co-op card game, where you play as a superhero, and you're just basically trying to take down a villain. And it is a lot of fun. It's really well done. The one thing I don't like the art. I'm always a stickler for that kind of crap, though, so I don't think it's really super problematic, but I wish the art was nicer. So I would love to see a collector's edition or a special edition with brand new art. Don't know if that'll ever happen, but I doubt it will happen. But if that did happen, I would just be super happy. But you have all your different characters. Based on what I've seen stuff like, because here, I will highly recommend another board gaming tabletop show. Yeah, they do videos and podcasts. The Dice Tower, absolutely fantastic. They are just fucking wonderful. And Tom Vassell, who I think is like the main guy, the guy who is like the head of it, he is just great. I mean, he's great at reviewing games, at talking about them. It just comes across as very welcoming. It's not like an elitist board gaming guy or anything. So, and also the same, like the a lot of videos I see, it's Tom and then Sam Healy and then some other guy who I can't remember his name, and I feel bad about that because I really like that guy. But yeah, I highly recommend checking out their videos and listening to their podcasts. But Sentinels of the Multiverse is a co-op card game where you're playing as superheroes taking down villains. And I just had a lot of fun. And from what I've been told, the base game, there are a good amount of expansion packs and all that, so you can get a lot of different plays. But base game is more full of like characters that are basically like, oh, this is our Batman, this is our Hulk, this is our whatever. And then the expansion packs get a little bit more crazy with the characters, making them a bit more original. I played as Absolute Zero, which I was told then and there that he was like the weirdest character that the guy who brought it, Ryan, who was a new person, who was actually probably, of all the new people who have been popping up the past month or so, I really liked him. I thought he was a cool guy. But I was told that he was a very weird character, that he's like, oh, I still don't understand this character. When I looked it up online, everyone's like, yes, this is the most, I don't know if they said specifically difficult, but just it's the oddest choice from the base game. And the reason for this, I picked him because, like, when I first looked at him, I'm just like, Absolute Zero, maybe he's like Sub-Zero. He's not anything like that. Not really. And then I looked at his, and I didn't actually look at his details before picking him. I was just told that he's weird. I'm like, fine, I'll give him a go. And the thing about him that makes him weird is that his power, and this is why he's a character that you really need to build up. He's not going to really do much of anything for you in the beginning. His power is that he can deal either one cold damage or one fire damage to himself, not to a bad guy. To himself. So his power is that he can just slightly beat the shit out of himself. But after you play a lot of cards and get things going, you'll be able to, while still hurting yourself, then deal a lot of damage. I ended up really helping out at the end of the game by dealing in my last two turns 20 damage, 8 in one round and 12 in the next. And when I dealt 12, I dealt 9 damage to myself as well. So it's definitely a interesting dynamic with Absolute Zero. And then there are different scenarios and villains and ways of playing. Like you'll pick a villain and then you pick an environment, and those will change the way things go on. And we played against Omnitron because the guy just wanted us to have an easy go, and that's an easier character. It's basically an evil building, and we played it inside the Freedom Tower because who doesn't want to fight a building inside a building? It's like the movie Big, you know, where Tom Hanks, he's playing with a robot building. But yeah, we played against Omnitron, and when we left, Ryan was talking about another one of the just basically gave us an example of another one of the villains, which was I think the Dreamer. And that sounded really interesting because it was basically a kid version of one of the heroes. And the way that works is like she only has 6 health points, whereas Omnitron had 100. And the hero seemed to be around the line somewhere along, you know, 30, you know, with plus or minus 10, basically. But, you know, so this villain only has 6, but what you're trying to do is keep her alive and not have all her, like, bad dreams and all these bad things that she's thinking up hurt her. So it's a very interesting dynamic. I'm not exactly sure if that was the case or if it's like you want to be in a way that you attack all these things without attacking her, just doing all that. But that sounds very interesting and sounds so much different than what we were doing, which was just trying to destroy this building. So I think having different scenarios that differ that much really would just make this game super replayable and just super interesting. I really had a lot of fun with it. And basically the worst you had, you know, you do your rounds, everyone has a round. You play a card, you have an action card, which you just do an action. So that's basically, you can play like an action card or you can play like equipment that'll give you some kind of consistent a consistent bonus that is just always there. It's always going on. And then you can use your power or you can skip that. Then you draw one card, or you can skip, I think, both the action and the power phase to get to draw two cards. But yeah, like the way I ended up working is that I don't remember the name of the cards, but I had a few cards that gave me plus to my cold damage, then another one that gave me a plus to my cold damage, and one that anytime I dealt cold damage to myself, I healed myself for that many points, so I was able to heal myself all the time. And then I had a card where however much fire damage I dealt to myself, I dealt that much cold damage. And then so on the last turn, I dealt 9 fire damage to myself to deal 9 points, and then I also had 3 cold points, part of one of my action cards. So that's why I was able to do so much damage. But yeah, it's a really, really, really fun game, and I highly recommend checking it out. There is a like actual board game version that's currently being kickstarted. It's called Sentinel Tactics, or I believe Sentinel Tactics. And I don't know if it has, I don't know if you can like play it with the cards or if it's just, I think it's completely its own standalone thing, but it's definitely worth checking out because if the card game is anything to go off of, I highly expect that game will be friggin' awesome. Then the next game, the last big game I played of the night was Last Night on Earth, the zombie game. And this, it was a fun game. It was the first time I've ever played it's another co-op game. It's the first time I've ever played a game where there was not so much a like DM or GM or whatever. I mean, it's kind of that case, but first time where I've played a game where we have our four people, and then sometimes three. One person had to leave, Priscilla, because she saw Captain America in 3D, which is 3D. I'm pretty sure I saw Avatar in 3D, and then nothing until Gravity, and they always give me headaches, and I avoid them at all costs. I saw Gravity in 3D because that was the only way to see it when it came out in second showing. But I think, like I said, I think the headache, it was worth the headache. But yeah, this Last Night on Earth, it was fun. And, you know, one of the players basically is sort of guiding the experience and is he's the person who's controlling the zombies, doing their actions and just basically moving the game along. So that was a different experience for me. It was good. I mean, I think, like, I'm not sure if I would. I guess it's fun in its own way, too. But I feel like maybe in other games or something that doing that would not be as fun. But, you know, I'm sure there are people who love doing that because there are people who do, you know, the DMing and all that stuff. And I don't know. I feel like, oh, you're not getting in on the action. Don't you kind of wish you were playing too? And maybe not. So, I don't know what the hell I was talking about. But yeah, I was Billy the Kid, I believe. I think that's what his name. And basically just going around and trying to kill zombies. I don't know if this is the case for all the games or just the scenario we're playing, which I think was the base scenario. Kill 15 zombies, we win. We didn't win. Two of us died. And I think once two of us died, that was the end. I actually like killed 10 zombies myself or around there. I did end up dying, but it was a fun game. It was a game where it took a little bit more getting used to, and also there was a rule where we have to actually go in the discard pile, and we weren't, and we were doing the other thing, and then it kind of just screwed up everything. But it was still fun. And like I, when I was first playing, when it just first started, I was like, "Hey, should I play this car now or whatever?" And I was doing that to the guy running it, playing as the zombies. And he's like, "Don't show me that. I don't want to know what you've got," because he's not trying to help us. He's trying to make sure we all die. He's the bad guy. But that was fun. And then the game after that I played, it was this Kickstarter game. It's the fucking worst thing in the world. Maybe it's not so bad, but I was really tired and I just still could not understand the scoring exactly, and it was just so fucking. It was called Where Art Thou? Where Art Thou, Romeo? Basically, Romeo and Juliet. And it was this Kickstarter game that was basically like this little micro game, like five cards, and you could pledge $1 and get it. And I think the person who did it, like Ryan, who brought that game as well, was mentioning that the person who Kickstarted it was basically doing it as an experiment, seeing how that would work, and like lost 50 cents for every person who pledged. So that kind of sucks. But basically, I've never played Werewolf, but he said it was like a miniature version of Werewolf. And somebody's Juliet, everyone knows who Juliet is, and then you're trying to woo her. You have 30 seconds, everyone goes in and tries to woo her, tell her, "I'm Romeo," or "I'm this whatever." Yeah, that person's not Romeo, this person's whatever. And you have different things, like on a card it might say, if Romeo is picked, you get 2 points, whatever. And then Romeo, if you get picked, and you get 2 points. I mean, it was just fucking super. I did not understand exactly, like, why is this getting points? I was super annoyed. It was driving me nuts. I was ready to fucking kill everyone playing that game. But thankfully, you can't get it anywhere, so I don't have to worry about anyone playing it ever again. But I will say that I kind of wouldn't be against playing it again, maybe like at the very end of a fucking game night, because I don't think I laughed as much as I did playing that game because of how much I fucking hated it and how fucking stupid I thought it was. It was the worst, but it gave me some good laughs, so I guess it wasn't a complete loss. But yeah, that is everything I played last night. I'm looking to pick up Sentinels of the Multiverse because I really, really like that game. I'm excited about some board games I have coming in. I ordered Horse Fever because I remember hearing about it before, and it's something I always wanted to try out because I love horse racing in real life. So a horse racing board game sounds just fucking perfect for me. And there's something else. There's, what is it called? Gem. Not gem battles, gem something or what, something or other. But yeah, I'm also just always on the lookout for good single player games because I think single player board games, while seemingly odd, are actually awesome in concept and everything. So I was told by Ryan, who's a very awesome guy, and he was he, see, there's you have your bad drunks and then you have your funny drunks. Ryan, he's on the funny side when it comes to the more intoxicated level. So yeah, he's a good guy. But he mentioned Mage Knight, which is a board game I've heard, or it might just be a card game, but it's a game I've heard a lot of good things about. It's expensive, but he said it's really good single player. I think he actually said he never plays it with other people. So that's interesting. That's different. But it's like $100, I think, for the base game, and I don't know if there are any expansion packs, and maybe that's wrong, but it's also like seemingly, I think it was around $80, with a little discount and all that, but that's still a lot of money. I would probably rather put that towards Sentinels of the Multiverse because I have played that and know I love it. But yeah. That is it for today's episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. This weekly installment of Tabletop Tales. That is TALES, just in case you're fucking confused. This isn't about tabletop with fucking little furry tails attached to them. And this isn't a furry podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Kuznets. Y'all can find me on Twitter @Kush3, Instagram mkush, Xbox Live PX Sausage, PSN. Hopefully, they'll actually give us the ability to change our names. And I, like I said, if that is an option only available to PS4 owners, I will buy a PlayStation 4 just to change my stupid name because I'm sick of having it the one I have, the Kush 3. And I don't want it. I honestly believe I would play more PlayStation games if I knew my name was not that stupid name that I'm just annoyed by. I lost my train of thought with that little side rant. Nintendo, I'm just pixelated sausage. So, and speaking of pixelated sausage, gothere.com. It's not gothere.com, it's pixelatedsausage.com for all the crap I do. Things will be back to normal this upcoming week, hopefully. And, yeah, as long as nobody fucking dies again. Ugh. So, yeah, and just want to give a shout out to my lovely cat who passed away 3 years ago yesterday, Pokey. He's a wonderful little guy. And you will always be remembered. I don't know why I felt like bringing the show down right there. Of course, go and check out the other podcasts I do, Pixelated Radio, which you can find at pixelatedradio.com. Please go to iTunes and rate and review and subscribe to both Pixelated Radio and the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. It really does help out a lot, especially reviews. Those help out a ton, way more than you think. And then check out frontburner.net. That is frontburner without the E, frontburner.net. Go there, register, just be active on the site, use it, get in the forums, start posting. That would be greatly appreciated. I think you'll really like the site as well, not just to, you know, please me, but just, you know, in general. I don't need you to please me. I'm good. And then while you're there, check out the Sprite Stuff podcast hosted by Dean Stevenson. I don't feel like doing it. I think I may have tired myself out of the whole weird names at this point, but check that podcast out. You can find it in iTunes or on frontburner.net by just searching for the Sprite Stuff. And then, of course, check out the Signed In podcast at signedinpodcast.com, the Sports Car Unleashed podcast at scunleashed.com. I wanted to say sportscarunleashed.com. You know I did. And then check out Kicking Out at 2. That is Kicking Out, the at symbol and the number 2. Just search for that in iTunes, wrestling podcast hosted by Hotcakes Man, who is definitely hot, and he makes great cakes. I don't know either of those. I mean, he could be hot. I just don't. I'm not into dudes. So, yeah. But he's a good guy, and he's definitely good at making cakes, probably. Sure. I think he was like a cook at some point. Though that doesn't mean he baked. But I'm sure he baked a mean cake. I don't fucking know. This podcast is too long. I'm done. Everyone, I hope you all have a great Friday. If you do any board gaming, card gaming, dice gaming, game gaming on Saturday, wherever, I hope you all have fun doing that. Definitely go to your local shops and support them. Buy a game or something there while you're doing all that. And yeah, have a great weekend. Adios, everybody. I was going to say have a great weekend again, and I was like, I already said that. So I'm going to say adios again. Adios.